If there's such a thing as a frustrating 4-touchdown win, well, maybe Ohio State 37, Ohio 9 would fit the bill. Welcome to another week on the beat. I am Austin Ward, joined as always on a Monday as we kick it off with Zach Bourne for a Bourne Blitz. And does that fit for you, Zach? How did you leave on Saturday night at the Horseshoe?
A little frustrating, but this is the positive in it, is that there are games, and I say games plural because it will happen multiple times, where you are not completely satisfied with a win and you have this taste in your mouth. It happened multiple times last year. Heck, we had to discuss 2 losses last year, right? So if you are having this taste in your mouth, and this classifies as one of those games that might be a frustrating game, and it's a 4-touchdown win, not the worst thing by any means, right? They are obviously going to use a lot of things to learn from this tape. They're going into a bye week before a West Coast trip to Washington. There are obviously a lot of good things, but also a lot of things to work on from this game Saturday night.
Yeah, I think those are called first world problems for the number one team in the country, that you didn't play a perfect game of football. And guess what? They probably never will. I'm fascinated to see, Zach, how the coaching staff, how Ryan Day will use this, because it felt like on Saturday night, as you know, his first reaction as he's leaving, he's at the podium, he's talking to the media. It's like, I was just like, hey, how are you feeling right now? Because it's hard to kind of read him. It felt like there was a greater sense of frustration from him specifically. It doesn't matter how I feel or you feel necessarily. But the lessons learned is the thing that he kept coming back to, and that they have to take some of the mistakes and getting bogged down in the red zone. As you mentioned, they gave up a deep shot for the first time all year for a defensive touch, or giving up a touchdown on defense. You know, some things that were kind of uncharacteristic for them, but they have to carry that into this improvement week, the off week, and get them corrected. And they probably will. So I guess you've been through this process, Zach. A coaching staff will be able to maybe get the attention of the Buckeyes, because that will be the quote unquote silver lining of winning comfortably and making a bunch of mistakes.
Yeah. I mean, all elite coaches are perfectionists. You look at the best coaches to ever come through the game, any game, actually, they're all perfectionists. And Ryan Day is as elite of a coach as they come. So when you're leaving the game Saturday night, he obviously is not happy with a lot of the execution, a lot of the decision-making from his quarterback, plus many other players on that field. But to your point, it's coming at such a good time, because when you go into these weeks, especially early on in the season, you're able to regroup. Hey, listen, we had 3 games that we played. We have tons of data, tons of film, tons of things that we know that we can work on, and actually things that we are good at. And Ryan Day actually talked about it. He didn't so much talk about it after this week's game, but after Grambling and after Texas, there were still questions on the direction or the identity of what they wanted to do. And I think you see after the OU game, even though Julian Sain was not perfect, you saw a lot of things that they wanted to do that Julian Sain could have been even better at Saturday night. You know, he missed some wide open receivers. He made some bad decisions with the 2 picks. But guess what? You kind of see the identity in the way this team is kind of starting to ramp up. And especially they're going to need that against Washington, right? If they think Julian Sain is going to go out and be a 30 to 35, 40 throw guy a Saturday, guess what? They're starting to lean towards that. And they're starting to set things up on the offense side of the football for him to do that. And that even comes back to, you saw a lot of Bo Jackson on Saturday night. And I don't think that was a gimmick. I don't think that was something because they wanted to take off reps from CJ and Peoples because of the wear and tear. I think they wanted to put Bo Jackson out there to see how he meshes with a Julian Sain offense and the trajectory that they want to go and kind of take this thing.
Well, yeah, where can they take it, Zach? Because that 64-yard run on that first offensive snap of the third quarter. And I said this on Snap Judgments with Berm on Saturday night, and I still feel the same thing right now. Like, that felt like a star making moment for Bo Jackson. And maybe that's like hyperbole and too much. But that was the run where it's like, you saw everything he could do, the power, shedding those two tacklers that were trying to collapse on him there as he gets through the hole, the acceleration to the sideline. Now, he didn't finish that off in the end zone. Maybe you can, he doesn't quite have the breakaway speed of Travion Henderson, but who does? But he certainly has more than enough to pull away from a lot of defenders. And I know that it's one game. It was one carry. It was against Ohio. It's a MAC level competition. It's not like he did this against Penn State or in the Big House, but while that run was going on, I was like, oh, I think maybe Bo Jackson just arrived.
Oh, for sure. And I think what Ohio State wanted to figure out is who fits this offense the best in what we're trying to do. And nothing against CJ or James, but those guys are much more between the tackles, put your head down, get 3 or 4 yards, kind of pile of dust type of running back. And you saw when they were able to spread out OU Saturday night, which they want to do with the weapons that they have at wide receiver, Bo Jackson has the vision to be able to make those quick cuts. He has the explosiveness to get to the next level quickly. And that run, it almost looks like he was shot out of a cannon, right? Like I think it was 10 yard, maybe 15 yard mark. You thought the safety was going to catch him and he just kept on kind of pulling away and the safety couldn't get there. Now, obviously he didn't finish in the end zone. That's going to be a big thing. And hey, how do you, even once you break free, how do you set guys up? How do you use a stiff arm? How do you do those things to create separation? But I think you saw a lot of great things from Bo Jackson of what that can look like when you get him in space.
We don't get to make this decision. That's going to be up to Carlos Lachlan and Ryan Day and Brian Hartline. Do you think what they saw on Saturday night against Ohio will change anything in terms of the pecking order? Because you're going now into Big Ten play. 2 weeks, you start against Washington. Last week at this time, we were talking about you could see the upside, and then he had the ball security issue, and how much was that fumble going to weigh on the minds of the coaches? They put him out there earlier in the game against Ohio, and he responded with another 100-yard game on a limited amount of carries. Do you think now they have seen enough in that sample size to change the way that they use C.J. Donaldson and James Peoples with Bo Jackson, or what? You know, maybe practice is going to tell that this week and then the week before Washington. But if you were in that room, what do you think the conversation would be?
If I was in that room, I think the writing was on the wall, right? From the performance that Bo Jackson gave you on Saturday night, they put him in there. If I'm the coach, I'm putting him in there to see what he can give me, because you can't put him in on the road against Washington as his first time getting more reps or getting more involved in the offense. Saturday night was his time to shine. It's like, hey, buddy, you know, you're either showing out or the pecking order is going to stay the same. And, you know, you'll have very limited reps. I think he went out and balled out and showed, hey, listen, you can trust me to go on the road against Washington and give me 10 to 15 touches, right? You can trust me once we get into Big Ten play. And here's the thing you brought up. It's against OU. But guess what? We weren't breaking really many runs against Grambling either, right? True. And and James Peoples and C.J. Donaldson, like I said, I really like them as players, but they still got rushes Saturday night against OU, right? And there weren't really many that were broken open. And so it's not like Bo Jackson was the only one running the ball Saturday night against OU, and the competition is skewed based off of what those guys are doing. I think Bo Jackson went out there, gave them a completely different dynamic, something that they've been looking for, that kind of that home run hitter that we've seen this team have. And to be honest, I don't want to make this comparison because I know we've kind of made it for James Peoples as times went on, but Bo Jackson Saturday night kind of reminded me of like that J.K. Dobbins, his first couple games of his freshman year. You know, he started as a true freshman. Everyone was a little like, oh, well, you know, okay, let's see what this guy can do, right? I remember his first game, I think, was on the road at Indiana, and everyone's kind of surprised that he's out there. And you saw some flashes, you kind of saw some mistakes. But one thing that you saw from J.K. as the year went on, and I think this is what the coaches are thinking, is the more reps he got, the more touches he got, the more confident that he got in his ability. And you saw him truly take off as that year went on. I think that was kind of the first step in getting Bo Jackson reps, getting some confidence, because as you go into Big Ten play, now it's like, hey, buddy, here we go. We might need to rely on you in some of these games.
Yeah, I think maybe at that position more than any other. Coaches talk all the time, and players do as well. Like, running backs need carries to get into the rhythm of a game. They need that 5, 10, 15 carries, figure out what a defense is doing, get into, you know, build a little rapport with the offensive line, all those things. Like, it feels like Bo Jackson is putting himself in position for that against Washington. We'll see. I'm trying to keep in mind as well, like, we are expecting that perfection that's never going to happen. Like, Julian Sayin set such a high bar for himself, beating Texas in his debut, being like as close to perfect as you can be against Grambling, that maybe there is this inclination, speaking for myself, to be like, well, that's just what it is now. He's going to be on this rocket ship, and he's never going to make any mistakes, and the five-star phenom is living up to that, and look out. And you look at the numbers, and they're still like jaw-dropping overall for Julian Sayin on Saturday night against OU. But you have the turnovers. You have some of the red zone issues mixed in there. And that was his third college football start. I'm trying to keep that in mind. Like, he's going to have these lessons learned that Ryan Day was harping on. And I think we saw some of those with him. He's still going to be fine. There's no need to panic. But those, I'm trying to remind myself of that this is a true sophomore in his third start, and everything else was still pretty darn good. Because those deep balls, maybe I should be focusing more on those than the interceptions, although the interceptions, you can't have those either.
Yeah, this might be a really bad take to some people, and Ryan Day might be thinking this way, but isn't going to do it to the media. It's probably a very good thing that Julian Sayin made these mistakes and did what he did on Saturday night. And the reason why is because you hit the nail on the head. You are expecting perfection every single game, right? And Ryan Day expects perfection every single game. But let's be honest, that's not going to happen, right? Tom Brady wasn't perfect in every single game. And so for Ryan, he's probably extremely happy that these interceptions happen in this game. He's probably extremely happy that these red zone woos happen in this game. He's probably happy that Julian Sayin completely missed a couple wide open wide receivers Saturday night in this game. And the reason why I say that is because you come out of this game still with the margin of victory that you did, and you have all of these things to work on, to look at, to build on. Like, the only way to get better and the only way to move forward and work towards that perfection is to make mistakes in games and learn from them, right? And so guess what? It could be very different from making these mistakes in a losing effort, right? If you go out and lose a game and you make those mistakes in the red zone, you throw those picks, it's a lot harder of a Sunday morning, right, in that facility than it is after a four-score win. And so Ryan Day is probably extremely happy that that stuff happened, because now going on the road, Julian Sayin's first ever test at Washington, which I don't think people are giving enough credit to Washington. It's a team that plays really well in their home stadium. It's a really hard place to play. It's loud. They are going to be ready for the Buckeyes. I don't know the last time Ohio State's played at Washington. It has to be early 2000s, right? Something like that.
I think the last they had the home and home, I think that was in the early 90s.
Early 90s. Okay. Anywho, Washington fans are going to be extremely excited to get the number one team in the country out there. And so for Julian to have some learning tape, some teaching tape of these mistakes, what can you do in these situations? Hey, why did you not see the wide open wide receiver with this look, right? Why did you automatically go to your second or third read? Like, these are all great things to learn from. And so, like I said, maybe it's a bad take, because as a Buckeye fan, Buckeye Nation, we expect perfection every single time. Well, sometimes it's a good time to have a learning curve. And I think that was Julian Sayin Saturday night.
Yeah. The defense had one of those as well, with the throw deep on Lorenzo Styles Jr. He also left the game shortly after that with a shoulder injury. We saw Berman and I talked with Lorenzo after the game. He had a big ice pack on that, but it doesn't sound like that's a long-term issue. And one of the things with Lorenzo and that nickel, and one of the reasons I was pretty optimistic about what he could do. The first two games were really good for him, especially against Texas, and they didn't take him off. Ohio State didn't take him off the field at all. This was the first time, when you think back a year ago, even when he was giving up completions, they weren't for the deep shots. They weren't for touchdowns. And he gave up one last night. I thought overall the coverage on that play, Zach, was good. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But sometimes they have scholarship quarterbacks too. They complete the pass. If you give it up, you just have to get him on the ground. And that didn't happen, which exacerbated the issue there.
Well, I think that's the biggest issue, right? You're going to get beat on times. They're Division I football players. Parker Navarro is a good quarterback, can make a throw. You simply got beat. The issue is, once you gave up that completion, you didn't get the guy on the ground. That's the biggest thing. And they're going to be talking about that to the entire secondary from that standpoint of, hey, guys, we're going to give up completions. We're going to do these things. We got to get them down and live to play another down. Yeah. I mean, it goes back to the perfection thing, man. You're going to get beat. You're going to give up touchdowns. I think, you know, after the Buckeyes defense dominated Texas week one, still gave up 7 points, but then, you know, you don't give up anything to Grambling. I think everyone's expecting, like, oh my God, this defense isn't going to give up any points to any offense the rest of the year. Things happen. I will have to say, after that touchdown, I was intrigued to see what they would do once Lorenzo Styles went out injured, and bringing in Devin Sanchez, man, like, the dude's a stud. He's going to be a stud. That's another guy. It goes back to Bo Jackson as well. The cornerback position, the more reps you get, the more game-like reps where you're making plays, breaking on the football, the more confidence you're going to have. And so if Devin Sanchez is out there, man, that's not a bad backup in that situation to run out there and let him play. And the defense is still so, so good. I feel like people left the stadium Saturday night thinking, like, man, is the defense as good as we thought they were? Right. It just didn't look as dominant as, you know, they did the first 2 weeks. Like, maybe they're not. That defense is dominant, man. That defense is really good.
That's a great point about what Ohio State elected to do at nickel when they needed to go to the depth. We talked at spring, and then it felt like, well, maybe they just put this on the back burner because you saw Jermaine Matthews immediately slide in there, and you bring in another corner and Devin Sanchez to fill that void. There had been, you know, speculation or conversation about Bryce West maybe playing there. Aaron Scott could step in at the outside corner. Do you have another safety? You put Malik Hartford in the game. No, they're like, Jermaine Matthews is going to be on the field and he can handle that role. I think that's pretty significant moving forward. The other personnel, I don't know, adjustment, if that's not the right word. We'd seen this for the first couple of weeks, but I think Zach Boren on the Boren Blitz for the last 3 years has been saying, you know what might be a good idea? Letting Caden Curry move around the defensive line and putting him against a center. That seems pretty unfair.
Caden Curry, man, you're taking some of my thunder to end the show.
But I know what I want you to, you know, dive. Pat, you don't have to pat yourself on the back. No. So I'll do that for you. You've been saying this would be a threat for years.
I am a huge fan of Caden Curry. He reminds me in such a weird way. He reminds me so much of John Simon, a guy that I played with, and they have different body types, but they're both that gritty, twitchy, play to the whistle kind of players. And that's what I love, right? Like, you put that guy in any situation, he's going to give you everything he has until the whistle is blown and the play's over. And so the dude has just been building more and more confidence week after week. The sack that he had when he lined up over the center, he literally, I don't know if I've ever, he bull rushed the center and the guard and bull rushed them both into the quarterback and made the sack. I'm like, I'm watching the replay in the stadium and I'm like, he bull rushed two dudes on the same play. Like, how does that happen? Right. And everyone for so long was talking about, oh, Caden Curry doesn't have the girth to play, you know, Ohio State. He can't play the run. He can't do these things. Like, he's a specialty kind of player on third and long and pass rush situations. The dude can play. It doesn't matter who you put him up against. I'll tell you this much. That center and guard have a hell of a lot more weight on him than the normal guy. Those at least over 300-pound dudes, right?
Right.
And he literally just crushed the pocket back into Parker Navarro's lap and made a huge sack at that point. And he's been all around the field. I love what Matt Patricia is doing with the defensive front, moving guys in different spots, going down from four down to three down, doing so many different things. And Caden Curry's just reaping so much of that success.
Well, that feels like a bit of a spoiler. As you said, I stole your thunder as we get to the end with a three and out on the Bourne Blitz. Players of the game, former Ohio State 37, Ohio 9. I knew Caden Curry was going to be in there, but I wanted to talk about him anyway.
Caden Curry's a stud, man. I want to keep on just talking about Caden because I'm so pumped about him. I'm so pumped that he's showing Ohio State what he can do. Like a guy like that, man, with the talent he has. And now in college football nowadays, 95% of the time, he's on a different roster at another school, right? Let's just call a spade a spade. Caden right. Curry has stayed with the Buckeye program, knew that, hey, my time was going to come at some point, trusted in his ability, and you are seeing that this year. And he is playing so well. I expect him to keep on dominating and be that go-to guy when Ohio State needs a big-time play from the defensive line. He's leading that charge, so to speak, yeah. On a defensive line that does not have much, call it seniority on it. Now, they got some older players, but guys with not, tons of starts underneath their belt, Caden Curry's setting the tone. So he's one of the stars. The other one, you got to bring up Bo Jackson. You know, we've already talked about Bo and what he was able to bring to this offense Saturday night. I think what he's doing, and as things move on, he's only going to get more and more involved, and they're only going to cater more to his skill set as something Ryan Day and this offensive coaching staff has been accustomed to do for so long. And the other one, we didn't even talk about him because the common theme of this has been perfection, but another great day from Jeremiah Smith, man. Like, I think we almost take him for granted.
We might, yeah.
In what he does, you know, I remember, I think it was, it may have been the fourth down. No, that was the Cornell. There was a play. There was the second drive of the game. I think it was like third and goal from the 2 yard line. And, Sane just ripped it out to Jeremiah on a fade. And when the ball wasn't completed, I think everyone looked around like, what just happened? Right. Cause they just expect that to happen at all times when, like, it's wild, right? Like, OU, the defender made a good play, right? It was a good throw, but he made a good play. Jeremiah Smith isn't going to moss everybody at all times and make spectacular catches every single time the ball is thrown to him. But that was kind of a funny moment because I remember looking around at people and people were like, what happened?
I don't think you can do that. That's
right. Right. No doubt. But, you know, still ending with I think 153 receiving yards, I think, on the day, two touchdowns. Got a little
rushing touchdown in there, too.
And a rushing touchdown, right. I think you're starting to see it. This is probably a stupid comment, but you're starting to see the offense evolve with Jeremiah Smith as well. Like last year, you know, being a freshman and having the two-headed monster of Trey and Quinchon and Will Howard, like you kind of saw him fit his role then. And I think with Julian Sain now and them trying to figure out the running game, and obviously you still got Carnell Tate in the tight ends room that's super deep, but I think you're starting to see them mold Jeremiah Smith into a little bit of a role, and he's starting to kind of understand like what that is, right? Yeah. And it's different than last year. It's going to be different this year. It's going to be different as the year goes on, but I expect huge things from him, man. He put up another great game Saturday night.
Yeah, you're right. We take it for granted. He set another school record on Saturday night, the fastest Ohio State receiver ever to 1,500 receiving yards, did that in 19 games, broke Jackson Smith and Jigba's record. Jackson did it in 20, and he had the benefit of that absolute monster game in the Rose Bowl to send him on his way. But yeah, Jeremiah just continuing to impress, continuing to break records. And Zach Bourne is going to continue to break down Ohio State every Monday with the Bourne Blitz. And a bonus, we've got him coming to hang out, I think, still scheduled to come hang out with us at Roosters for a fun, casual conversation later on Mondays. I love it. I can't wait. I'm fired up for it. It's improvement week, and we're going to have all the coverage of that, as we always will, on the Austin and Berm Show. Great to break this one down with Zach Bourne. 37-9, Buckeyes moved to 3-0 on Saturday night in the Horseshoe. Non-conference play is over. It's Big Ten time, and we will be back with more discussion about the Buckeyes again later on at Roosters, and then Ryan Day and the coordinators available on Tuesday. So ramping up, even with no game on Saturday, we'll still be talking Buckeyes as we always do all year round right here. Thanks to Zach Boren for joining me. I am Austin Ward. We'll see y'all later.